He asked about was the early governments in the Muslim countries like laissez-faire?
What's the economic model for them?
Yeah,
And
well,
well,
yeah.
no, like the
Control element.
I see.
The how much
Involvement.
how overbearing was the government? Yeah.
So I my answer to that was two parts. Firstly, the Prophet's way with governance was always whatever is the government that exists as it is as it was. He never actually interfered in any method of governance, right? So in Bahrain they had their own methods, he didn't interfere, right? In other parts he didn't interfere. But if you notice, the idea of revelation is that the law is so public, right? And it's connected with the reason for existence or the, you know, purpose of life, right? Which is to please the creator, and have a strong connection with your creator. So the law is recited three times a day out loud, Jummah khutbah. The concepts of piety, purpose of life, and the law are all intertwined. The social law are all intertwined. And what is the result? The result is a society that has an increased, not total, it's never going to be total, increased amount of what's the word?
Self-policing.
Self-policing, right? We police ourselves. And we don't police ourselves just for the sake of the law. We police ourselves because the joy of existence and life and the joy of afterlife is dependent upon following these certain rules, right? And when you bring in Islamic spirituality, oh, right, the joy of Islamic spirituality and the serenity that people get from that is ruined by breaking these laws, right? So no one wants to see this. So that's one thing. So that's the overwhelming idea. The other idea was that the Umayyads, the Abbasids, the other rulers, they weren't totally involved for another reason, which is lack of manpower. Like they couldn't. Abu Hanifa, for example, Imam Abu Hanifa, radiallahu ta'ala, he was a he served as people used to come to him for rulings, right? He was not an official judge. If you look in his biography, he never worked as an official judge. There was an Umayyad judge at the time, right? Or an Abbasid judge at the time. They didn't go to the Abbasid judge, the official judge. They never went to the official judge, right? They viewed him as a puppet, right?
And it wasn't because they were following the nafs and
Yeah,
forum shopping.
exactly. They went to the imam that they really believed was the keeper of the religion, Abu Hanifa, right? So that judge was sitting there. Actually, that judge took a fatwa to Abu Hanifa. He said, and he's just a judge, he's just an employee. He's not like he's a corrupt ruler. He's just an employee. He said, Imam, to Imam Abu Hanifa, he said, nobody comes to me. They all come to you. Is my earning halal, right? Because I'm literally doing nothing all day. Right. So that goes to show that
So he worked in IT?
Yeah. Whoa. So who says IT doesn't do work?
Excuse me. Sorry.
Maybe in
I
law,
apologize.
Those law firm,
maybe in law firms.
Those law IT guys
As
slacking
ironic
off.
as it is, I work for a company that makes law software. So
So
I'm
you
in the
don't do
shop.
anything?
No, that's not true, but
Sorry,
so
for the
my
interjection.
So my
No
question
problem.
to that is then, you know, and maybe we need to preface this with a little bit of explanation, but is does that mean that, you know, Islam is like pro-capitalism? You know, is
Actually, if
it
you want a capitalist type of hadith that people want to talk about, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, I thought about regulating the prices. Then I said, leave it to what Allah decrees. So if you want to talk about regulating prices, right, which is an important issue, right, they're across the minds of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, I'll leave it to Allah's
And
decree.
Sheikh, I saw another riwayah where someone came to the Prophet because there was some crop didn't work out too well, so the prices were high on that item
Yeah.
because of supply and demand, right? Adam Smith.
Yeah.
And they said, put a cap on the price of, you know, the dates or the barley, whatever it was. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that riwayah said, Allah decrees these things, and I wouldn't want on the day of judgment for someone, meaning one of the merchants, to say
Yeah.
something against me that I harm
Subhanallah.
them.
Subhanallah.
I never heard that hadith. It was
Yeah.
mind-blowing.
And also the idea of business itself being, if you look at the Sahaba, a completely moral and fine nothing. There's nothing wrong with it.
Abdurrahman ibn Auf,
Abdurrahman ibn
radiallahu
Auf.
anhu.
Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan, it was said about him that he would be sitting on the minbar waiting for to start Jummah, asking about the prices. Right? Now he wasn't asking about the prices so that he could buy and sell. He's asking about the prices of things for the well-being of the people, right?
Right.
So he wants to know the prices. Here you have the Khalifa of the Muslims, from the 10 greatest, from the 4 greatest of believers, at the moment in the mosque, about to pray Jummah, on the most holy moment of the week, and he's asking about prices, right? So in Christianity, you'll never have something like that, right?
Right.
It is a completely spiritual, otherworldly religion. Islam actually views business, and I think I'd like to talk about business. I love talking about business because people think business is a profane thing, right?
On the contrary, the best profession, right? From the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Shaykh, the best profession. The
Prophet, peace be upon him, said, 9/10, right? 9/10 of the rizq that Allah sends down is funneled to traders, to merchants. Right. And I'll tell you why. Buying and selling, because they have risk. And if you look, there's no inventor who changed the world by himself.